Let me just ask you then to tell a little bit about your early years and how you got into baseball.
Well, when I first started playing playing on the sandlot, and then I went to Duluth, Minnesota, and while there I was scouted by Cleveland scouts, and I was brought back to Toledo. I played Toledo part of a season, and I was brought back to Cleveland.
Well, what sandlot were you referring to now? Where did you play on the sandlots?
Well, down at Norwalk.
Oh, you were born in Norwalk?
Or? Well, I was born in Milan.
I see.
And I played, we had a sandlot team at Norwalk.
Oh, I see. Now, are you in high school? Are you through high school yet?
No, I didn't go through high school.
You played when you weren't in high school. You're playing sandlot ball, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then, of course,
the Cleveland scouts saw you there?
The Cleveland scouts, a scout by the name of Huff, scouted me in fact, Jarvie O'Brien was managing Duluth, and he recommended me to this scout by the name of Huff. And then he was working at that time with Cleveland. So that's how I got to be bought by Cleveland.
Why did they send you to Duluth? Did they own Duluth or have a working agreement with it?
That was the first team that I went with, at Duluth.
But did Cleveland have an arrangement with Duluth?
No, no. No, they didn't have any arrangement with Duluth.
I just wondered why they'd send you up there when there might have been a closer team.
No, I was the reason I went there was Jarvie O'Brien. He lived in Cleveland at that time, and he told me to come up there. He's the one that signed me up.
Who is Jarvie O'Brien now? Is he?
Well, he was an old-time baseball manager.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I got to go up to Duluth.
What year was it? Do you remember when you went to Duluth?
I got you talking way back now. I don't know. It was around 13 or 14. Uh-huh. So 13 or 14, somewhere around there.
Okay. And you played how much of a year did you play up there? How did you do up there?
At Duluth?
Yeah.
I was only there just a half a year, and then the Cleveland brought me back to Toledo.
Had a good half year up there, huh?
Huh?
Did you have a good half year up there?
Oh, yes.
What'd you hit?
Oh, I didn't hit so much, but it's they just thought I'd be a good prospect.
Uh-huh.
So from there they brought me down to Toledo.
Now, did they have they had an agreement with Toledo, didn't they?
Cleveland did, yes.
Oh, okay. And you played how long at Toledo?
Well, I played just finished out the year there at Toledo. Mm-hmm. And then...
Who was the manager, remember?
I can't think right offhand.
Okay.
But, so then... instead of coming right here to Cleveland, they sent me to Waterbury. Lee Foe was managing Waterbury.
Now, this would be the next season?
Yeah.
The next season, probably.
And they sent me to Waterbury under Lee Foe. And during the time when I was there, they had this baseball strike. And in order to protect two or three of us young fellas, they brought us back to Cleveland. They didn't want to take any chance of us jumping to the Outlaw League.
Oh, I see.
So that's how I came back to Cleveland.
You mean the Federal League?
Yeah.
They were fearful you might jump to the Federal.
Yeah, that's right.
Did anybody approach you from the Federal League?
They didn't give them a chance. they grabbed us quick. It was three or four of us.
Oh, is that right?
So we came back here, and then when we came back here, they stayed here then.
Uh-huh.
I stayed with Cleveland then. And finished out a year and a year, and the next year, then I went in the service. I was in the service a year, and I came back, and I had to go back to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Who managed Cleveland when you came up the first time?
Lee Fole.
And who were some of the players on the team then?
Oh, the players, Joe Jackson and...
Tell me about Joe Jackson.
Huh?
Tell me about Joe Jackson.
Oh,
what kind of a guy was he?
He was really no doubt a Superman. You know,
uh-huh.
He could do anything. Just a big old country boy from the South.
Uh-huh.
And we had a lot of associations with him.
Yeah, what was he like personally?
Oh, a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And of course he turned out to, I think, I still say that he got a raw deal.
Yeah. What would Jackson do? You say you associated with him quite a bit. Play cards? Or
oh,
just,
yeah.
He's a card player, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He could do a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we all roomed together.
And, oh, did you?
Yeah.
Who's we now?
Well, Joe Jackson and Walter Barber.
I don't know him.
Never
heard of him.
I didn't know him. Uh-huh. And a couple other boys. We all roomed together.
You mean on the road? Or?
No, here in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Where'd you stay in Cleveland?
Well, we stayed at a house just 2-3 blocks from the ballpark.
Uh-huh. Everybody had to find their own room?
No, well, what do you mean, find their own room?
Well, you had to go out and rent.
We had a private house.
You had to rent a place for yourself when you're staying
yeah.
in town here.
Yeah.
So this it was a private home. You people just had a room in there?
That's right.
I see. Did you eat there? Or?
No. No, we didn't eat there. We just had a room there.
Jackson, was he a, did he have a, was he a good-tempered person?
He was a good, jolly.
A sense of humor?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
remember any stories about him at all?
he smoked Piedmont cigarettes and drank Coca-Cola. Boy, he just.
That's all he drank, huh?
Yeah. That's all. But he really aimed for that Coca-Cola and Piedmont cigarettes.
He's trying to soften Ty Cobb up. Ty Cobb had his stock in Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Yeah.
who else was on the ball club when you first came up then?
Well, there's Steve O'Neill. Jack Greaney.
What kind of a chap was Jack Greaney?
Oh, he was a wonder. He was one of them. Ray Chapman.
Yeah. Knew Ray pretty well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you playing in the game where he was hit?
Yeah.
Were you? Could you tell me about that? What it looked like to you? Or?
Well, of course, we were battling New York. And there wasn't any love between the two teams. And this fellow Mays, of course, nobody can say that he actually hit him purpose. But he was a pitcher that had a very peculiar ball when it sunk. And poor Ray, he just didn't get out of the way of this ball. And it hit him, and he never came to. But that, like I said, nobody could tell that the man done it purposely.
Mm-hmm.
But those days, they did knock you down.
They did?
Oh, the pitchers would knock you down. Some of the managers find the pitcher if he didn't knock a hitter.
Is that right?
I used to be knocked down regular all the time.
Is that right, huh?
Tris Speaker used to get hit in the head, shoulders, all over.
Yeah?
Those days, it was only natural of the... You couldn't get up there to have a toe because they'd knock you down.
Well, you know, it's surprising that only one guy was killed then, isn't it?
That's right. far as I know, yes, as far as I know.
You think more would have been hurt if they...
Oh, there's been several hurt, you know.
Did you ever get hit in the head?
Oh, yeah, I got it right there one time.
Yeah, who hit you?
Big Dave Davenport. I was playing with Washington then. And he had a sort of a peculiar ball, sort of a sidearm ball. And it just kind of sailed up there, and I just was froze. It just hit me right there.
Right in the middle of the forehead, huh?
Right in the forehead.
Yeah, anyways.
It wasn't a fast one, you know. If it had been fast one, I'd have probably been caught right.
Did you lose consciousness, or you pass out or anything?
Well, it kind of knocked me out for a while, but it didn't last long. Oh, I've been hit several times around the shoulders. And
You had your nose broken.
Huh?
You had your nose broken.
Well, that was when I was playing after I got through.
That was amateur.
Let me check this now, see how we're going. Okay. Now, we were talking about some of the ball players that, like Ray Chapman. What kind of chap was Chapman?
He is a wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. Wonderful guy.
Must have been a great ball club. Some real fine people on there. How about Charlie Jameson? Was he with the team when you came up?
Yeah. He's quite a ball player.
Mm-hmm. Who's your first baseman?
George Burns. George Burns and Doc Johnson.
What was his first name? Wheeler?
Wheeler Johnson, yeah.
Where'd you ever get a name like that?
Yeah.
And then in the 20 World Series, the brothers were against each other, weren't they? Jimmy Johnson for the Dodgers,
yeah.
And Doc Johnson. How about Terry Turner? You remember him or not?
Well, Terry was just finishing. He was all through just when
right?
I came up.
Oh, I see.
He didn't play long after when I came in. He was all finished.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were you came up then with the Indians in about 1914. Is that right? 14 and 15?
Yeah.
And you went to Boston, didn't you? Or
well,
was
that
Washington?
Was later.
Or Washington, I guess.
Now that's the funny thing about Washington. Cleveland traded me to Washington, and they raised such a fuss here in Cleveland that I went to Washington in the spring, and before the season was over, I was back to Cleveland again.
Oh, is that right?
So then I played with...
Who raised the fuss?
The fans.
Is that right?
So then when I... in 1921, they traded me to Boston. And I was in Boston just a half a year, and then there was Boston traded me to New York, Yankees. And 21 and 22 and 23.
Did you know Babe Ruth pretty well?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What was the Babe like? Is he the great playboy?
You can't describe him. Uh-huh. Because he done so many different things that you just can't tell everything that he done.
Did you ever bat against him when he was pitching for Boston?
No.
You never did?
No.
He's a great pitcher, I guess.
No,
became a hitter.
He was quite a pitcher, yes. And then, of course, when he went to New York, he went to the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just an understudy to him.
Oh, I see. Backup man, huh?
You know, it's funny. And during batting practice, he'd get up there and he'd hit several balls out of the ballpark, you know. And I'd come up there and do the same thing, and they just clapped like the devil for him. When I'd come up there and hit the same ball over, you wouldn't hear a thing.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get a chance to play much in New York. They had such a team there that you just couldn't break in.
Yeah. This is when they were winning the world's pennant, the American League pennants, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
In the early 20s. Bob Musil and...
Yeah. Oh, they had a team there that... You just couldn't meet them.
Mm-hmm. Who was the toughest pitcher you ever hit against?
Well, there's several. And you might not believe this, but they had a pitcher in Detroit that he'd throw one up there and then one a little slower and one a little slower. And that's the kind of a guy that always gave me a lot of trouble. The fastball pitchers didn't. But these fellas
of Who was this?
Bolin, Early Bolin.
Early Bolin.
And he just throw one up a little slower and slower. It looked like a balloon going up there.
You're good. You like fastballs, huh?
Oh, yes.
How about Walter Johnson? Is that fast enough for you?
Oh, Walter Johnson. I could hit him pretty well.
All right. Uh-huh. Well, you wouldn't, would he be the best pitcher, do you think, or your time in the league? Or
the what?
The best one of the... Would he be the best pitcher you saw or not, Johnson?
Well, I would say yes. Johnson, they had Eddie Sykop, Chicago, and Red Faber, Chicago. They were always tough.
Uh-huh.
But Walter was about to. Of course, the older ones, before him, I couldn't say because I didn't hit against them. The old Chicago pitchers and the old New York pitchers.
Mm-hmm. Did you bat against Carl Mays?
No, I played with him.
Uh-huh. But I mean, when you were with Cleveland, did you ever bat
against him? Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Well, how was he to hit? Of course, you say he had this heavy ball, this ball that sank.
He was tough to hit. Uh-huh. He was tough to hit.
Uh-huh.
He was kind of underhand side. You don't see those. You didn't see that kind of a pitching very often. And when it fooled you when you come to hit against him.
How about a spitball pitcher like Faber? Was the spitball tough to hit or?
Those fellas were tough.
Uh-huh. What would the spitball do?
Well, it'd come up there and just drop.
Uh-huh.
I used to take, for instance, Kovaleski. I used to supply him with the slippery elm.
Well, tell me about that. How did you do this, or what is a slippery elm?
Well, he cut it off the tree. Cut it off the tree. Then he put it in his mouth and it dissolves, and he gets that saliva on it and.
Oh, you say you supplied it for him. Where did you get it?
Down the country.
Oh, I see. Was this better saliva than anything else? The slippery elm was it particularly good?
Or to have something slippery.
Yeah.
Now today they're talking about grease.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about that. Well, they have grease on it or not?
Yeah.
Any substance on that ball, it's slippery.
Mm-hmm.
You can throw the ball will take off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have many spitball pitchers. There was Kovaleski and Red Faber and St. Louis had one. Chicago, Washington had one. There wasn't many. Wasn't many pitchers that use it though.
Yeah.
Everybody can't do it. You can't use it, you know. But it was a tough ball to hit.
Yeah.
And Bertie Grimes, he was supposed to be his pitcher, spitball pitcher.
Yeah.
And when we played him here in this World Series, when I went up there, he had two strikes on me. He threw me two spitters and I missed them. And all he'd had it done was just whooshing like that and throwing a chest hard and struck out. But he made a mistake. He threw a fast one there and that's where he made a mistake and I just hit that thing. And all he'd had it done was just make a motion like that and maybe I'd have swung at it.
What hit was this? Is this one of the homers, or?
1920.
I mean, when you hit him on this pitch.
Yeah.
What did you get on it?
A home run. The bases loaded.
Oh, that was the big home run.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Grimes was pitching.
Yeah, then. I always said that's one mistake that he made in baseball.
What did you feel when you hit that home run?
Well, how could you feel?
Where'd it go?
Over the fence.
Right down the line or right center field? Or?
Oh, right center, yeah.
Was it a good shot way over the... You knew it was out of there when you hit it, huh?
Yeah.
It must have been a great feeling.
Mm-hmm. When it left the bat, you knew it.
Well, for instance, I'll give you a little example of... those years... Now with me and Bill Wamme making the triple play there, we could run out and probably pick up a lot of money. And talking different things. But we did go out, but what did we get? Just a dinner. We didn't get no money for anything. Nowadays, they even get money for even going to a banquet.
Yeah.
And things like this. You couldn't get a ballpark today to talk on this thing unless you paid him.
See, I don't know.
Huh?
No.
Yeah, that's the difference in the way things are going now. Yeah, that year we won. Our check for that year was less than $5,000. Today the World Series is $24,000.
You got a World Series check too, didn't you?
That's what I'm talking about. The World Series check of that year was less than $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
$4,000 and something.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it? Something like that?
Winners.
Then it keeps going up each year. But it's really out of proportion now. There's no reason for it. Tickets used to be... World Series tickets used to be $660, top price. Now they're $12 or $15, something like that.
Yeah. How did that triple play look to you from right field?
Well, it all happened so quick, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably didn't realize it was a triple play at first, I suppose. I suppose Wamby didn't realize it right away.
Well, he realized it. Yeah. It was right in front of him, you know.
Yeah.
All he had to do was touch the base and touch this other fellow. He made a great play.
That was some game.
And a lot happened
in that game. Yeah. Bagby hit the 3-run homer, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had a great year, didn't he, in 1920?
Yeah, you bet he did. They used to get 8, 9, 10 runs for him, and Kovaleski, they used to get 2 and 3.
Is that right?
That's the difference in the pitching.
What about this Ray Caldwell? He was, he had a good year. He won 20 games, didn't he, that year?
Yeah, he was quite a pitcher.
But wasn't he a cast-off from the Yankees some years before? Or?
He was with New York and he came to Cleveland.
Was he a troublemaker or something there, or what?
Well, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. No. He had a real good year then, though.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher and a good hitter.
Was 20 your best year?
Yeah. That is in the minor, in the big leagues.
Uh-huh. How do you account for that? Anything particular?
Well, every ball player has, sometime or other, has something special. You look, you see a lot of players that they have a wonderful year and then next year they don't have a good year. But it just happened that 1920 was my good year. In the majors. Of course, I had a big year out the coast when I was out there.
When was that?
24, 25, 26.
Oh, is that right? Tell me about that, Ken.
I had 44 home runs one year out
there. Is that right? Who were you with?
Portland.
Uh-huh. Well, you had long seasons. Oh, yeah. Played a lot of games.
Well, they did play a lot of games out there. Uh-huh. They used to play 100 and, oh, I forget how many they played. Mm-hmm. A lot more than any other league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was this fellow Paul Strand out there when you were there? You remember?
Yeah, he played with me.
Is that right?
He was on the same team.
Oh, well, tell me about him, because he had a tremendous year one year out there. And Connie Mack bought him, you know,
yeah.
And he came up and he couldn't do a thing.
Yeah. Well, he was a good ball player.
Paul Strand,
yeah. Lived in Salt Lake City. Uh-huh. Visited him, we went out the coast a few years ago and we stopped in Salt Lake City and visited
him. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had, there wasn't anybody out there that came up.
Well, was Avro playing yet?
Avro was playing with San Francisco, and I recommended Avro to the Cleveland Ball Club.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And Avro and Steve Jolly.
Yeah.
And I wrote to the Cleveland Ball Club and told them that they'd grab this Avro.
He probably should have been up a couple of years before he came up, don't you think? Wasn't he ready?
He didn't play there very long.
They just had out in Seattle, they just had some kind of a celebration for him. He was 70 years old, I guess.
Yeah, I read that in the paper.
And I guess they're trying to boost him for the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
And they had a little...
Well, he's deserving of it.
I think, yeah. He was one of my heroes.
He's quite a ball player.
First year I ever saw any baseball here was 1929.
Here.
And that was his first year. Saw the Yankees play the first game. Ruth hit a home run, so I was properly introduced to the game.
Yeah, they had some good ball players out there that time. What
was Smee Jolly? Did you know him?
Well, he was playing there too, yeah.
Was he as bad an outfielder as everybody said?
He was on the same team.
Oh, yeah? On Portland?
He was on the same team with Averill.
Yeah, Frisco. But,
and they had, Oakland had Lynn Larry and Reese, a combination.
Yeah.
People used to go out and watch them practice. They were really clever.
Uh-huh.
They both came up.
Yeah, but they never fulfilled promise, though.
No, Larry played up.
He stayed up, yeah. Reese went down pretty quick. How'd you like League Park to play in?
Oh, outside of League Park was first, Detroit was second. Detroit was a good place, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You like that short right field wall?
Yeah, well, you could see better. You could see good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Detroit and Cleveland both were. Really.
How about right field to play the position in League Park? How did you find it? It's a tough place to play.
It was rather difficult in a way because you had to watch. You had to find out how those balls come off of the wall. Sometimes they hit something, go way over here,
yeah.
And you had to watch it. And hit the screen, and you know it isn't going to bounce back very far.
Uh-huh.
But it was quite difficult to. You had to. Second baseman had a. If your ball was hit high in the air, and you went back to the right back to the wall, the second baseman had to come out. And retrieve that ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did they have the second deck built at League Park when you first came up? Was it a double deck stand all the way around by then?
Well, not all the way around. It just,
except for the bleachers, but I mean.
The regular grandstand was double-deck.
That was double-deck, uh-huh.
I believe it was triple-deck, wasn't it?
No.
No, double-deck.
Uh-huh.
Just...
Yeah.
Yeah, the second deck was rather high. Yeah, that's right.
Well, how did you two meet?
How did we meet?
Yeah. I want to get that here. I see you got married shortly after the World Series. So,
yeah. You know. Well, through parties.
Uh-huh. Well, it was Joe Evans.
Through Joe Evans, yeah.
Well, as I say, I hadn't heard of him, but...
He was playing
third base. He was playing in Cleveland.
Uh-huh. Well, how did he bring you together then?
Well, through parties.
Uh-huh. Double dated, you know.
Uh-huh. Had you been going together very long before you got married?
How long was it?
Well, Joe and Elmer and I triple dated. The three of us had gone. Well, you were in France 1 year, and I still went out with Joe, and then when you came back in 18, the three of us went out together, and then we were married in fall. About 2 months, we were seriously going together. We went out together a lot.
Uh-huh.
We really got serious.
Was it? Is it not because the World Series was out of reason, or were you going to get married anyhow?
Well, we were going to get married anyhow. And the money helped.
Well, that helped it a lot. We got a little more finance.
Where'd you go?
We sneaked off and just went to Detroit. And I had a promise of going to Cuba, but remember that? The spring training, that was, I was to go to Cuba.
Did you train in Cuba?
No, we were just to take the trip.
Oh, I see.
I never did get there, though.
You trained where? New Orleans most of the time, or?
Well, Cleveland was New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah.
I trained down there. They don't do it today like it did then. We used to have two stops on the way north. Stop one maybe at Memphis or Atlanta or Chattanooga or someplace down there. Then the last stop would be Cincinnati. Two stops on the way. That's all the exhibition games were played.
Uh-huh.
Now they play 30, 40 games.
Yeah.
Need
it
for the salary.
Mm-hmm. What were some amusing incidents which occurred, some funny things that happened in your career? Must have been a lot of things that happened which were humorous and, you know, make good stories. Can you think of any offhand?
Well, I just don't recollect anything funny.
Or odd plays, how about that? Some strange plays that happen in games. Every time I go to a ball game, it seems like I see something I never heard of before. Maybe some unusual plays might have come to mind. Not quite as unusual as an unassisted triple play, but... maybe some other things.
I just don't know offhand. I couldn't.
Where did you live after you got married? In town here?
Oh, we lived at a couple places. Then we...
Cleveland Heights.
Huh?
Cleveland Heights, we lived before.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes, we lived in Cleveland Heights for a while.
Uh-huh. Did you ever buy a house here? Or?
We bought one on Superior Road.
We bought a house on Superior Road after the series.
Oh, I see.
Then we bought
one. With some of that World Series money, huh?
Yeah.
that was a New York World Series.
Yeah. What's the daily life of a ball player like? mean, when you say
you go to bed, do you get up and eat, go to the ballpark? At night, maybe you go to a show or something. That's all it is.
You make it sound so so unexciting when it
well,
must have been very exciting.
At night, a lot of times you go to maybe you go to prize fights, hockey games, or something like that.
New York had more.
But you don't get a lot of time off.
Well, say you're at home now on a homestand. You're living at home then. You get up in the morning. What time? You play a 3 o'clock game, say. When did you sleep late, or when?
Well, your time is your own. When you're at home, you know, the only thing is you got to be at the ballpark certain time.
Yeah, when would you have to be out at the ballpark?
Well, it all depends. Doubleheader, you'd have to probably be there around 12 o'clock. Or the 3 o'clock game, you'd probably have to be there about 1:30 or 2.
And would say you had a doubleheader, would you have a big meal or something before the game, or?
Oh, no.
Have a snack between
games? Well, we didn't have night games then.
Have a big meal after the game?
We'd eat after the game. And for noontime, we'd have sandwich or something brought in. If we're down there early, you'd send out and get a sandwich or something like that. Uh-huh. Right across the street from the ballpark, you'd get anything you wanted. Uh-huh.
Well, you lived on Superior then, and would you take a taxi to the park or drive, or would you have a car by then?
I had a car.
And you'd drive to the ballpark?
Yeah.
Where would you park? There's not much parking space around there. Where would you?
Well, you'd park inside.
Inside?
They had a place inside you could park.
Oh, did they? Where, off of Lexington? Or?
Well, you could park out across the street in the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
You could go in the gate on 66th Street.
I see.
You could blow the horn. They'd open the gate and let the ball players car come in there and pack under the stands.
Oh, I see.
A lot of the ball players then didn't have cars.
That's what I say.
Out of town ball players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what would the out of town players do? They would stay in hotels or
cab.
They stay in hotels, take cab out the park.
Back in the 30s, I used to read references to the players staying at the Belmont Hotel. So a lot of them seem to stay at the Belmont.
Here?
Yeah.
Belmont?
I think it was on around Euclid and 40th or something
Elmer.
Like that.
Elmer. That's where you and Joe stayed, but they changed the name.
No, that isn't.
Yes.
Oh.
It's the Belmont now. It's still the Belmont.
Where did he stay now? Or?
He and Joe, before we were married, stayed at 40th.
Well, I never knew them. I never knew the ballpark stayed out there.
Uh-huh. Well, it may have been later on.
They always stayed down at the Holland or the Euclid.
Uh-huh.
I never knew any ballpark or club stadium.
Well,
it
must have been much later on then.
Well, that, I remember when you were, that was.
Well, that was nothing but an old family hotel then.
But it was the 40s, and you.
When you're on the road now, how much money did they give you for expenses?
They didn't give me nothing.
They didn't?
Not for expenses. If you have to buy your own meal, they give you meal money.
Well, like hotel money and taxi money.
No. They gave you nothing. They paid the hotel, the club paid the hotel bill.
Uh-huh.
And they gave you meal money. I think it was somewhere around $5 a day.
Was that enough?
20.
Was that enough?
No.
Then?
a lot of the fellas eat hamburgers.
Did you stay in pretty good hotels?
Oh, yes.
What did the people think of ball players then as individuals? Was there any feeling against them? Or?
Well, they
Did you find anybody, you know?
They're always hanging around, you know, trying to get to autographs and stuff like that.
This is one side's getting near the end. I don't want to miss it because you don't know when it runs out sometimes, and you lose some good. But like Nixon and his tapes, you know, they run out and you don't know about it.
Her voice don't go in there, does it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it picks up very nicely. This is pretty powerful little machine here. Did you ever meet Ben Johnson?
No.
Shucks. I'm trying to write a book about Ben Johnson. He was down at Marietta, you know. He went there and he left some money for our field house. It's called the Ben Johnson Field House, so I'm trying to get some material on him and write a little book. But I've talked to several old-time ball players and they never knew him. So apparently the president didn't associate with the players.
No, I never met the man.
I see in one of the clippings in here, when you were traded to Boston, he objected to this. Because I don't know why, but it was too many Boston trades, apparently. You and Dugan were traded, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were you teammates, or you were?
Joe Dugan.
Yeah.
He and I was, we were traded to New York from Boston.
Oh, I see.
And yeah. Frazee or whatever his name, he didn't get along very well with anybody.
No.
So that's probably what you have referenced. Yeah.
Do you remember him at all?
Frazee? No, he was the owner of the Boston Company. I never knew him.
How about Jimmy Dunn? Did you meet him or?
Who?
Dunn.
Dunn?
Yeah, the Cleveland owner.
Oh, yes.
What was he like?
Oh, he was quite an Irishman. I went up to see him after the World Series. And he was all put out because I asked him for $4,000 raise.
No.
He was quite a man.
What'd he say?
Huh?
What'd he say?
He laughed. He wouldn't consider it.
You got a raise though, didn't you, after that season? I think so. How about Charlie Summers? Did you ever meet him?
Yeah.
Tell me about him, can you, a little bit?
Well, I can't say much about him because he wasn't here very long when I came up here.
He must have gotten into bad financial trouble, I guess.
Yeah, he was quite a man. Of course, Bernard was the one that really run the club here. He was the main guy there.
Did the players have much to do with him, or did he have much to do with the players, Bernard? Did you?
Oh yeah, he done most all the hiring and firing.
Oh, I see. Summers was kind of the.
He was just the owner. Mm-hmm. And of course, after they were all over, Bradley came in.
Did you ever, I don't suppose you ever met Landis, did you?
Do what?
Did you ever meet Landis?
No. Mm-hmm. Not personally.
Uh-huh. How about some umpires? Any umpires you get to know pretty well?
Well, I used to know pretty well, but Billy Evans used to know him pretty well. Uh-huh. You don't get too familiar with those fellas.
Yeah. Are they pretty fair and honest?
Oh yeah, they have to be. You get mad at them, but that's all in the game. Cuss them a little bit.
Did you ever get thrown out of any games?
Once.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, what? I just don't remember where it was, but I was throwing a bat against the grandstand.
Is that automatic ejection, or?
Should be.
What is it, a call strike or something?
No, I guess they just put you out when you get do things like that.
Had you struck out or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, I want as much as I can get here. What happened? could you just trace the teams you played for after Cleveland again? When you left Cleveland and where you moved to on into the minor leagues?
Well, I didn't go to minor
leagues. No, for a while, I know.
I was with New York, 22 or 23, mm-hmm. And then New York bought Earl Coombs from Louisville, and the only man that Louisville would take was me. Oh. Huh. So I got I always said that was the worst deal that I ever got in baseball. They sent me to Louisville. And they got Earl Coombs. Huh. And then Joe McCarthy was manager of Louisville. And he told me that he would sell me before the year was over, because he knew I was a good ball player. And sure enough, they did. Louisville sold me right up to Cincinnati.
Why did Louisville ask for you then if they were going to sell you? I wonder.
Well, they didn't know that I was going to sell me then. But they was to get a player. They got so much money and a player from New York. And they wouldn't take anybody that New York wanted to offer them unless it was me.
Oh, I see. So you went up to Cincinnati then?
Then...
What year would that have been?
1920. Well, I played with Louisville 24 and then 25 next year. Uh-huh.
And how long were you there?
Just 1 year.
Uh-huh. Did you play much with Cincinnati?
Well, that's the peculiar thing. They had a manager by the name of Jack Hendricks. And he was, without a doubt, the worst manager I ever played for. We had a team there that should have won the pennant. Huh. So they had an old coach by the name of Bill Clymer, and he was to take the next year, he was to manage Buffalo. And somehow or another, Hendricks didn't like me and he wanted to get rid of me. And so this Bill Clymer happened to find out about it, and he wanted me, if he was going to get rid of me, he wanted me to go to Buffalo with him. So to make a long story short, they sent me to Portland, Oregon, Cincinnati. And that was another raw deal that I got. In fact, I only had Judge Landis would allow my time that I was in the service, he wouldn't have sent me out because I was a 10-year man. But he didn't allow our time in the service. That's one thing I had against him.
What did this 10-year rule mean? You could not
well,
be sent?
They wouldn't, they wouldn't be allowed to send me to the minors. They'd either have to trade me to some other club or give me my release.
I see.
So, I only had a little time, less than a year.
And they sent you to Portland just to
was the purpose of that? Just to get you mad or
they
something?
They just got rid of me and they had a chance to send me out there. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's one bad thing about that 10-year business. The club owners, they could keep a guy from getting that 10 years. The man only had 9 years and a half, and they didn't want him anymore. They'd send him out rather than let him have that 10 years in service.
You needed a union, didn't you?
Huh?
You needed a players' union.
There wasn't any union then.
I know, but you could have had one. You could have used one.
Oh.
To prevent this kind of thing from
right.
happening.
That's one thing that I always held against the club owners. That they were awful dirty about that.
Yeah.
And there was lots of cases where they did that too. Mm-hmm. Sent a man out before he had his time up.
Mm-hmm. Well, after your good years out at Portland, would you get any more feelers for another shot at the big time?
Mm-hmm. That I could never understand it. I had one over a year out there. 3 years I was out there. Well, I don't know. Sometime or other, the club owners just have something against a player, and they just won't let him advance. They just keep him down. Whether they had anything against me, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What did you do after Portland?
Well, I was out there 3 years, and then I came back to Louisville.
You went to Hollywood.
Huh?
You went to Hollywood for a few months.
Well, I was out that league 3 years. And then came back to Louisville. And that was just about the finish there, man.
Did you ever meet this other Elmer Smith?
Yeah. He was a runner. You mean, who did
he was a ball player, wasn't there? Ellsworth Smith?
I never met another
player. He was finished in 1906 or so, but I thought you might have.
No, I haven't met him. I met another Elmer Smith, a runner. Sprinter.
Who kept the materials for the scrapbook? Did you cut these out, or did...
Well, all of us.
Uh-huh. Good scrapbook, then. Then what happened, when did you hang them up then, would you say? By 1930?
Well, let's see, what's around there, somewhere around there. Well, I was all through playing.
And Springfield was the last you played.
I was all through playing, and Bill Wambe ran a team down to Springfield, Springfield, Illinois. And he wanted me to get out there and help him out. So I went down there and played with him for a while. And then after that, I came home, and there was a fella by the name of, I can't think of his name now. He ran Springfield, Ohio. He called me and wanted to come down and play with him a while. I went down there and played with them a while. Then after that, I came home and I run this semi-pro team down to Norwalk. We had a team down there, had a good team down there.
You're living here, though.
Well, I was living in Milan then.
Oh, you didn't live in Cleveland.
I stayed down in Milan for a while there.
It was in the summer. His family home was down there. His parents home. In Richmond or
Summers. Oh, I see. The summers after the...
After his trip.
Yeah.
Well, all the time, Sam and I.
So he had a semi-pro team then in Norwalk.
Yeah.
When did you go to work at the Cleveland Trencher?
When? It was during the war. I was working for Lizzie's. I worked for Lizzie Brewing Company 10 years.
Oh, did you?
And they had a little trouble over there, and then I got a chance to go out to the Cleveland Trench, and I went out there and stayed out there for 10 years.
I guess about that.
What did it feel like coming up to Cleveland for the first time as a young ball player? What's the feeling to make it big?
Well, felt like any other young fella coming up. You felt pretty good to get a chance.
And what did Lee Fall tell you when you arrived? Did he tell you anything particular? Or?
Well, of course I played with Lee the year before, you know, at Waterbury.
He came up with you, didn't he?
He came back here to Cleveland then. Mm-hmm. And he knew what I could do, and
is he a pretty good manager?
Yes, he was all right. Of course, he got a bum rack. You know, the time that they fired him because the pitcher by the name of Lev Kumbi pitched to Babe Ruth or something, and he hit a home run one game. He was let out after that.
Oh yeah, I think I heard that story. Well, how about Tris Speaker as a manager?
He was all right.
What made Jack Hendricks a bad manager? Didn't handle the players right, or
you mean Hendricks?
Yeah, Jack Hendricks for Cincinnati.
Well, he didn't. He wasn't the manager. He didn't manage a club like a manager should. He was a minor league manager, and then he used to manage Indianapolis, and they brought him over to Cincinnati. But he just didn't fit in right.
You mean he didn't handle the players right? Or?
Well, he didn't handle the players, and he didn't know the game enough.
Oh, I see. Well, now with Speaker, isn't it a little hard for a center fielder to be a manager when he's playing in the game out there?
No, not necessarily. Because Speaker was... he'd done so much himself that he wanted people to do as he did, and even though they were not capable of doing it.
Did he feel that way to you at all, or did you?
Well, not only me, but everybody.
How was it playing alongside him out there?
Oh, it was all right.
Did he ever cut over in your area, or?
Well, you had to work together. Uh-huh. You didn't dare to have any difficulties. You had to work together.
Well, how did you work together? Did you have signals?
Well, what I mean is, you'd have to help one another.
Suppose a fly ball coming out right between you. How'd you handle
that? Well, you have to holler and tell who takes it. Mm-hmm.
Did you throw right-handed?
Yeah.
And Speaker threw left-handed? I suppose that'd make a difference who'd catch it sometimes, wouldn't it? Depending on the runners or...
Well, yes, it would, yes.
Speaker, he'd play a shallow center field most of the time, so he could run back.
They didn't hit the ball hard those days, they do now.
He had great speed, I guess, huh? Did he make some unassisted double plays with short fly balls? Is that true?
Well, yes.
He could run and touch second base.
He used to come try to pick off somebody at second base.
You ever do it? Did you ever try throwing to first base on a base hit to get behind the runner at all? Did you ever able to do that? You know, a single to right and the runner makes a turn, deep turn, and throw behind him?
So going to third?
No, rounding first, going to second, trying to catch him.
Oh, yeah, you often do that.
Roberto Clemente was good at that. Remember the Pittsburgh right fielder? He had a very strong arm, you know, and he could.
Who's that?
Clemente.
Oh, yeah.
What winter hobbies did you have, or what did you do during the winter time when you were playing ball? Did you have a job, or did you?
Oh, sometimes it worked. Uh-huh. Sometimes it wouldn't.
Bowled mainly.
Oh, did you?
One year when I cleaned some underbrush to keep in condition.
Uh-huh. Did you have trouble getting into shape each spring?
No, I never did. Uh-huh. I never took on any weight.
Uh-huh. What was your playing weight about?
Well, about 165. Uh-huh. They often wondered why. Wonder how I kept in shape like that. Uh-huh. These fellas go down there, they'd have to take off some weight.
Yeah.
They go out and work Dr. Dickens in the daytime, then go in at night and fill up with beer and shrimp and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever travel with him on the road?
No. Well, when he went out to coast.
Well, I meant here. We meant go on road trips. Did wives go with their husbands much?
Some do. Uh-huh. I mean, just depends.
Well, wives didn't travel much around.
But you don't have much time. Uh-huh. You want to go out on your own, but you don't have much time. Uh-huh. They're too busy. Uh-huh. But I would go and join him in whatever city, Cincinnati, or New England, or New York. We would take an apartment.
You mean when he was traded away?
Or? No, when he played away from Cleveland. Uh-huh. I'd go and stay wherever he was from.
Did you go to many ball games here when he's playing here?
Mm-hmm. I've always been a baseball fan. Uh-huh. Way back in the days of Gene Kraft and Joe Birmingham.
Did you know Joe Birmingham?
Is he? Yes, Joe Birmingham. I know never had him. But I was raised around 66 in Newport.
Oh, were you?
I went to Dunham School.
I want to pick this up, so.
And I have a brother, and we would put a lemonade stand out. So that when the ball players, of course, they didn't have cars. Joe Birmingham and all these, Gene Kraft and all those boys way back then. And they could find lemonade from us, and we would just throw it.
Was he the manager then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You see, we Gene Kraft was very, very friendly to us. He must have liked kids because he has more than the other asked for them.
Isn't that nice? Where would you set the stand up? What part?
At 66 Street, it was done on there, near way where the big park car came around there. We lived there. We put it out. I can Dusty Rhodes, who else could I think of it? I knew them. I admired, you know, how the kids would have
been. Well, I grew up in Lakewood, and boy, how I envied those kids that lived on the east side, where the ballpark was. We had to go a long way.
The coat room in my seventh grade room, coat room overlooked the ballpark. And you'd be surprised, especially the boys, the things they'd try to be sent to the coat room. Of course, they never were. The teacher wasn't that dumb.
Well, boys will be boys.
But they see, they could look at it and see the game and move back. Uh-huh.
Still working here, huh? Well, can you think of anything else that would...
Do you have any more that you want to know about? Or?
Well, you know so much that I don't know enough to ask you, really.
Well, so much that I don't have to answer your questions if you have any questions.
Well, I'd just about some of the ball players, personalities, you know. About the 1920 season in general. What the mood of the players was. And
well, it was more of a... More so after Chappie got hit. Then we figured we'd have to do a little better, try to do better. to win it for him.
You think you would have won if it hadn't been the Black Sox business? Because they lost all their players, you know, that last week.
Well, that was...
What was the feeling about that? Can you remember anything? What was the feeling about that? Can you remember anything?
Well, I don't know. To this day, I don't know whether they didn't want to win or didn't try to win the last part of the season, because this was going to come out. And I know, I remember the last time that they played in Cleveland that year. Talking to some of the players, and you could feel that there's something wrong.
Is that right?
Of course, Chick Gannon was the one that instigated all that. Mm-hmm. I guess he's the one that... But I don't think that they were all as gilly as they say.
Did you talk to Jackson at all about that time? Do you remember?
Well, no, I didn't get much chance to talk to him. But Joe Jackson and Happy Phelps, I really don't think that they were really guilty, because they played natural, you know. They didn't throw anything away, or mm-hmm. They just played natural.
Yeah, Jackson hit 375 in the series, the best hitter.
You know, Elmer, of all the ball clubs that you've played on, I don't know of any that were more congenial, though, as a group than the 1920 series.
Is that right?
Yeah. Even after Van Oldtimer's been here, some years later, I don't know, 10, 15 years later, and it was down the stadium there, and everybody came up, and everybody was really so glad to see each other. It was a nice group of players.
Well, Joey Sewell, he came up, didn't he, to take Chapman's place?
Yeah.
He fitted in pretty well, didn't he?
He done pretty well. We were lucky to get a man like him.
Yeah.
Turned out to be quite a ball player.
Yeah. A lifetime average, I think, of 312. It didn't strike him out very often.
Quite a ball player.
There's some talk that he ought to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know, but he could make a case for it, I think.
Well, as some of those fellows, I don't see how they got in myself. The ones that really deserve it, I guess, are having a heck of a time to get in.
Yeah. The present generation of sports writers don't know much baseball. How did you get on with the sports writers? Did you have much to do with them, or?
Well, I used to, Henry Edwards and Ross Tenney here, they always treated me all right.
Uh-huh.
You don't have writers today, Ed Bang. You don't have writers today like those fellas. That Bang was quite a... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he lasted a long time, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Henry Edwards wrote for the Plain Dealer?
Yeah.
Who did the press have? Anybody in particular?
Ross Tenney.
Ross who?
Ross Tenney.
Ross Denny.
Was that his name?
Tenney.
Ross Tenney.
I think it was
T-E-N-N-E-Y. Oh, I see. I haven't heard of him. Can you think of any interesting story that he should be telling me?
Well, he should be telling me.
anecdotes or how did you find out you're going to be traded when you were traded? Did you just, I noticed in the scrapbook several little letters you received.
Little note.
That's the notice, huh?
You don't notice it. You don't know it until it's time.
You're due to go.
They don't give you any advance information.
Huh. I'll tell you an interesting thing. If it's out in Portland, one of the players' son was sitting in the grandstand, and this ball hit a ball and fouled and hit this kid who wore glasses in the pond. The ball game stopped, and he went right over
his
the
own
stand.
Son, huh?
He knew it was his son he had hit. That is now Tommy Prothro, who is
the Rams.
Yeah. His son was sitting up in the
Doc Prothro's
son.
Okay, that's something. Was he with you then, Prothro?
Yeah, he was out to Portland the same time I was.
That's quite a team you had there. Did you win the title, or? The Portland team? Did you win the championship?
Did we win the championship? No.
Sounds like you had a good team, I would have.
Yeah,
we thought you. Well, that was certainly an unusual incident. Can you think of any more?
Well, that just came to me then.
Yeah. Covered all my items here.
I'll tell you a little story about Babe.
Oh, good.
Whenever the club is on the road, the card playing will be on the books until they get back home. And then when they get back home, they settle up. So on this particular night, we're leaving Washington. And the fellas were in the car, and somebody suggested get a game, poker game. And finally Babe come rushing in with a bottle. And we got in the drawing room, started the game, and he wouldn't give anybody a drink, only himself. It seemed like every time he got a jack, he'd win the hand. But it got so going, we finally got close to New York. It was only a little while, from Washington, New York. And Babe finally quit. He wouldn't play anymore. And there was a couple of boys that was out pretty well, and they got mad at him because he quit. But broke up the game. They had different games, and poker games, they had bridge games, and pinochle. I was in the pinochle outfit.
Oh, I see. What was it like traveling by train in those days?
Oh, it was all right.
You like those Boston to St. Louis trips? That'd be the longest one, I guess.
There's just one time where we had an accident wreck. It didn't amount to much, though. But, I don't know. He traveled all right. Always had two cars.
Two cars?
Sometimes.
How would they bunk you on the Pullmans?
Upper and lower.
They assign you to roommates or bunkmates or just pair off? Or?
Didn't make much difference either.
Expect Babe would keep people awake during the night maybe sometimes, huh?
He was there.
Well, never got much sleep. And the porter would always wake you up too quick before you got into town, because they wanted to get cleaned up and get out, you know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you wouldn't leave the town till midnight.
Yeah.
You'd go down to your car and get in, but maybe the train wouldn't pull out till maybe midnight.
You think the plane travel and the coast-to-coast baseball and night baseball has one of the reasons hitters aren't so good anymore?
You mean
the long plane flights, the night baseball, and the change in the clock, you know.
Must be terrible on your system.
Yeah, it must be. I was wondering if
some
this
days
might
nice,
be a
some days.
Yeah, it might be a reason why the hitters aren't quite as good as they used to be. All this streamlined travel today.
I don't know. I don't like it. If they had planes when I was playing, I don't think I'd rode. I don't think they could force you on it.
You know, coming back to the Bay, I was coming out of the ballpark, New York, we were all waiting for him. And the Babe came by, and a man was, they were selling pencils and shoes, or something. He picked out a $20 bill and throws it in the house. That's the kind of a person he was.
$20 bill?
$20 bill.
At the pencil pusher, huh?
Two pencils. Yeah. I guess money meant nothing to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now.
Yeah.
He was a very generous person.
You probably didn't know Lou Gehrig then, did you? It was a little bit later.
Lou came up just after I left.
Any other ball players that stand out in your mind as individuals, you know, as interesting persons or something like that?
Well, some of the old timers. Like, for instance, Ty Cobb, I think he's the greatest ball player I ever lived. A lot of people don't agree with me, but I think he could do most anything, you know? I think he was one of the greatest.
Did he really try to cut people up when he came in? Spikes high?
I don't think he did it purposely, but I know he was a hard man to tag.
The baseline was his.
He was a heck of a runner.
Did you know him very well?
Oh yeah.
How was he as a person?
He was for Ty Cobb.
Kind of a loner, they say.
He was good, and he wanted everybody to know that he was good. Well, there's a lot of old-timers that was good. Donnie Bush was very good, popular.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Crawford was very popular.
Yeah.
George Sisler. I don't know, the game today is... I don't know, it's so much different. It seems it's so much of a money thing today.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't say that there's a man playing today worth $150,000. I don't care who he is. All these $100,000 a year players.
Yeah, they're.
They get more breaking in today than it used to be for a big salary when we were playing. Of course, the time's different. That's sure, but I still don't say that. I still can't see $100,000 players. Like this Jackson, he wants to get $150,000 for 1 year.
And Dunn wouldn't give you 4,000 more. Good year you had.
No, I don't. I can't see it.
Of course, they have managers. Uncle Sam takes a bite out of that 100,000. They don't get 100,000, but they want it big enough that they get a decent salary out of it, a good salary.
Who was managing up in Boston when you were there? Do you remember?
That's funny, I can't think of it.
Well, how about Washington when you were there before the war? Well, doesn't matter.
Yes.
I don't mean to. That's bad. I just like to compare these managers you've had. You've had a number of them. Well, any more stories come to mind? Maybe we'll shut this off and look at some of your.
You know, it's funny. It's so long ago that I shouldn't forget it, but I just simply do it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's been. Very interesting.
Maybe some of the pictures would help him remember that. He knows the things when he was around, places I wasn't. I don't know what did that.
Just as well, huh?
Man in Boston. He was a little short fellow.
Miller Huggins was New York, wasn't it?
Huh?
Miller Huggins was New York.
Oh, Miller Huggins, he was in New York.
Is he a pretty good manager?
Yeah, he didn't have to manage.
He had the babe, huh?
All he have to do is tell a pitcher who's going to pitch the next day. Yeah.
Did you know Sad Sam Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He comes from down near where we were. Do you know a story about him?
The Joneses, the day the World Series ended in New York, the second World Series.
Oh, which is this now, 22 or 23? 20. Yeah, I caught you saying the second series. I didn't quite see what you mean at first.
Yeah, he was there 22 and 23. Must have been the 23 series. We were so glad to get out of New York. It was hot and stifling. And the only thing we could get was lower, all upper berths. Two Joneses, Elmer and I, we all caught an upper berth. It was all we could get.
No. He's from Woodsfield, Ohio, which is just about 25 miles from Marietta. Mm-hmm. He came down once. Wade Hoyt came over to speak to the Elks Club, I think, or Lions Club, one of the service clubs. And Sam came down from Woodsfield to be with him there. And I chatted very briefly with him, but I never got up to talk to him because I should
have. Promised to go down there so many times, but just never got there.
And his home is still there. I think the widow was just deceased too.
Okay.
Yeah. And
she
there
was
are two.
She was about
there are two sons that are living. One's in Erie, Pennsylvania. One's out west.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to get in touch with them about any memorabilia he might have if they would not want to keep. I might get a hold of them. But
Sam was quite a pitcher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All in one berth? Or?
No, we had the four uppers, though. All uppers.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get on an upper berth, there's no air conditioning.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah.
And it was late, it was September. And I'm being pregnant.
Oh, dear.
It didn't help any.
Yeah. Well, let's snap her off and